You have your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 4. I want to say we appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this morning. It's last Sunday of September. Fall has begun. Our days are starting to get shorter. And it should be getting a little bit cooler. And we thank God for that. Amen. The 33rd verse, 4th chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible said, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or house sold them and brought the price to the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people. And God, help us, Lord, to receive from you today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He is worthy. Amen. You know, many people come to me saying, Pastor, I want a ministry. And, you know, over the years, we tried to make a ministry out of just about everything. I had one guy told me he had the ministry of candy distribution. I was in revival, and that's what he told me, that God gave him a ministry of candy distribution. And I just don't know that that's a ministry. But if you're in a ministry, it should actually fall in one of the fivefold ministries that is listed in the Bible. It should be a subculture of one of those ministries, which is teaching and preaching and singing and praying and being an apostle. Amen. Be kind of hard to do to be an apostle, since most of the apostles that I know of were in the presence of God. We're called of God himself. I have some people call themselves apostles today, but I'm not sure I put them in the same boat I do the other apostles. But you know, church, the thing about it is everybody wants a ministry. You know, and we're all looking for something we can do. But I want to talk to you about a ministry today that everybody could be a part of. The ministry of encouragement. You know, when people are doing things for God and things are going on around them, when things are going through trouble or anything like that, what they need around them is encouragers. You know, everybody don't need friends like Job. Well, Job, what'd you do wrong? You undoubtedly you did something. You know, why don't you just curse God and die? Get it over with. I mean, you know, he had a lot of people telling him good stuff. You never notice that people have problems. As always, everybody got a story, and your story may not be good. If your story ain't good, don't tell them. I remember I had a busted blood vessel and a vocal cord in my throat, and I just quit a job to be a full-time preacher, and I'm spitting up blood standing outside the church, and this guy walked up and said, my brother-in-law had that. I said, what'd y'all do for him? He said, we buried him. You know, that's really not what I needed at that particular moment. Lord. Hello? And the reality is, we got a lot of folks that they do it, don't even think about it. They'll call somebody in the hospital. Next thing you know, I had that one time. I got an infection. It took me 6 months to get over. The last thing that person needs to know is something else that might go wrong. Amen. So you need to become the ministry of encouragement. Somebody said, well, now, how'd you get that from that? Notice something now. Point out something to you that I was talking about just a moment ago. The 34th verse talks about people working for God, and you don't have to be a preacher to be working for God. Amen. If you're faithful to God, notice what it said about those men. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Hello? They weren't running around like paupers. You ever seen people walk around the ministry and act like they ain't got nothing? And they think everybody ought to give them something because they ain't got nothing? Well, I don't have a whole lot for those guys. Then you got these other guys that walk around talking about how if you give to their ministry, you're going to get rich. I don't have a whole lot for them either. Amen. One of them sent me a letter one time, and it was a form letter. If my name had been two letters longer, it wouldn't have fit in the hole. But it said, I prayed, and God told me to send you this letter, that if you would mail me $100, you'd receive a hundredfold return. I actually had a lawyer friend of mine read that, see if I could hold him to it, because I'd go mail him $100 and then bill him for the money. Glory. Amen. But he worded it just so I couldn't do it. So I thought, well, the better way to do that is just send him my own letter. So I wrote him back, said, Dear sir, I'm an itinerant evangelist. I have neither the radio nor television costs that you have. I'm a simple itinerant evangelist of the Church of God. My expenses are my travel expenses and keeping my family up. So therefore, I want to give you the opportunity of your lifetime. You mail me the $100 and you take the hundredfold return. We'd both be blessed. And you know, I never did get my $100. I got took off his mailing list. For some reason, he wouldn't even send me notices he was coming to town anymore. I guess he's afraid I walk up wanting my money. Now, church, I believe if you give, God will give it back to you. But if I believed what that guy was trying to get me to believe, I'd wake up every morning mailing out $100 bills, and I'd be collecting every week. But that's not how it works. My Bible said if you give to gain, you've already received your reward. Amen. You know what it does? It also says this, to them who pertain godliness simply to be gained from such turn away. You might not ever be rich, but there'll be things in your life money can't buy. Could you say amen to that, church? I mean, one of my first mentors in the Church of God was a pastor of a church in Floralla, Alabama. Those of you who don't know where that's at, that's exactly what it is. The middle of town is the state line. On one side of the road, you're in Alabama. The other side of the road, you're in Florida. His church just happened to be on the Alabama side because the Florida side was richer. Glory. Y'all may not understand that. Used to, when you ride in the town looking for a Church of God, you find the railroad tracks. The church was somewhere in that area because that was where cheap property was. I go down there to preach for this guy. He's got 30, 40 people in his church. I preach that revival for him, preach revivals for him every year till he retired. I don't know the man ever had anything. Half the time he was excited. If he had a borrowed suit, somebody gave it to him. He had to have a car. He had to get somebody to find a way to get it to him. He'd have to pray and somebody feel sorry for him and give him a car. Amen. But you know what? That man taught me more about loving God and serving God than some of these guys in the big churches. Because you know what? He said, John, God never told me I had to build a big church. He just said I had to be faithful in where he put me to work and be faithful in what he called me to do. And he said, look, I got enough sense to know. I don't have the mentality to pastor no 200 people. I do very good pastoring my family. He said, but you know what? God's given me people to win, and I've won hundreds of people to the Lord because I've been faithful to him. And he said, I tell you what, if you just learn to be faithful, you'll be okay. Now, I want to be honest with you, church. Every time he called me, he was encouraging me. Every time he had something to say, he didn't walk around complaining because he didn't have this or he didn't have that. He'd come to camp meeting. He couldn't eat but one time a day unless somebody took him out. But he'd never go, oh, I'm hungry. I had need. Oh, he was always upbeat, talking about the presence and the power of God. That is the kind of ministries we need in the church today. People who walk around with a song in their heart. And a little spring in the hill saying, I've got a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all you could ever ask or think. Encouragers are people that are exciting. Amen. Now notice the Bible talks about a particular person. His name is Jose. Amen. Now that name actually is translated from a word, could be translated Joseph. But now notice this, the Bible said the apostle surnamed him Barnabas, which actually says a man of consolation. He's a man that's an encourager. He's a man that wants to help us. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? He was a Levite in the country of Cyprus. He had some land, and he sold that land and brought it to the New Testament church preachers and gave it to them. Amen. Now, I don't know if y'all understand this or not. That's going against everything you ever believed in. He's a Levite. He's a Jew. He's not in this New Testament church thing, but he's supporting them because he said they're doing a work for God, and I'm going to give to them, and I'm going to encourage them. Amen. Now, the Bible said Joseph means exalted, which is a derivative of the name Joseph. But now notice this. It also said it was consolation. One of the great needs of the body of Christ is a ministry of encouragement, one that will help us reach out to others and give them joy when there is no joy. Peace where there seems to be no peace, and the power of God to move them when it seems like nobody really cares. at one time or another, everybody needs encouragement. Kings, governors, presidents, pastors, church members. Come on, church. Amen. I try to be an encourager. But there are times when I need encouragement. And 90% of the time, you'll never know if there's something wrong. But I can't guarantee about that other 10% because sometimes it just gets tough. Because listen, I don't live on a mountaintop like some folks do. You ever been around them people? You see them? It doesn't matter. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And you're going, really? Dude, come to my house one day, pulled up and said, man, how you doing? He said, I'm blessed. I said, really? He said, yeah, follow me around the backyard. He said, look, I need to borrow some money. I said, no, you're blessed. Besides, he owed me from the last time. I wasn't about to loan him again. Hello? If we're not careful, the church could actually become a church full of people who are always down, always in need. You ever go, do you remember the old time, we'd have the testimony service and inevitably somebody get up, I tell you, it's getting harder and harder every day. Devil been all over me this morning. We used to think that was overcoming testimony. But you got somebody ain't never been in church, they're back there going, whoa. Like the preacher went to the guy one day after testimony service and said, son, don't you need to get saved? He said, I got enough trouble. I ain't getting involved in that stuff. Glory. The reality is that's what the world's looking at. They see us fall apart. They see everything going wrong in our lives, and they wonder what's the difference between us and you. You're no better off than we are. That's why they need to see a church full of encouragers, people that are touched by the anointing of God, who can walk into a place and put a smile on somebody's face because they're connected to a God who gives them joy even in the midst of the night. Could you say amen? Listen to what the Bible promised me. I know I'm going to have troubles. And those of you that won't believe you're not, go ahead, stick your head in the sand. Enjoy yourself. But just because you can't see things don't mean they ain't there. Hello? Well, preacher, I believe if I live right. This lady told me one time, she said, I don't like you. I said, well, hey, that's all right. She said, you're a negative preacher. I saw a negative preacher. Said, yeah, you talk about negatives. I don't accept none of that negative stuff. I don't want nothing but positive stuff in my life. And she said, you talk about people backsliding. I don't believe they can. I believe they're positive. I won't be positive about it. Even if they do, I believe they're coming back. I said, I believe they can, but I don't mean they're going to. She said, I don't want no negatives. And she's one of them that was on the mountaintop all the time. She said, God gave me a brand new Lincoln Continental. I went out there and was looking at it. And I think, whoo. Of course, she then told me he gave her $500 a month payments. Hallelujah. I raised her hood, and I'm looking at a car, and I'd stop by my car and got my little pair of pliers out that I carry around in my car that they do all kind of stuff. They're pliers, a knife. It'll actually work with a little ratchet thing. And I reached over the battery, took the negative post off, laid it over the side, and I closed the hood. She got in the car, and nothing worked. She said, what'd you do in my car? I said, it's just like you like it. She said, what? I said, it has no negatives now. I said, you had a negative in your car, and I took it out. Glory. She said, what are you talking about? I said, that negative post on your battery. She said, well, I ain't got no juice now. I said, that's right. Because to get a positive flow, there's got to be some negative every once in a while. You got to have a negative to make a pull on the positive so that you get a flow out of that thing. Amen. We put the battery cable back on. It didn't make a lot of fun with her, but the reality is that's where it's at. We're going to have some negatives. Things are going to go bad. But notice what Paul said. Doesn't matter how bad it gets in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not despaired. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down, but we're not destroyed. You know what he said? I may have problems, but there may be a dark night now, but there's a sun coming up in the morning, and there's a tomorrow coming, and no matter how bad it is today, I got a God that's going to turn things around. Could you? Glory. Thank God for the fellow that come to the man and said, look, remember the God that gives a song in the night. He's not just God when everything's going good. He's God when everything's going bad. Hello?
Glory. The ministry of encouragement. John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the vine. The Father is a husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. Now ye are clean, though the word which I have spoken unto you, through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. In other words, God said, understand something. Sometimes the problems you have is because you disconnected from the vine. Listen, a branch in him that beareth not fruit, what's going to happen to it? Why, the husband comes through and he'll take that doesn't bear fruit. And the Bible said this. He said there are three different responses. Abide not in him, and he cast forth the branch withered. In other words, if you get loose from the vine, they don't even try to help you. They just take you, put you in the fire, and get rid of it. Hello? Some of y'all never been in a vineyard, have you? Man, them vines get old like that. Don't take nothing. You just flip them in the fire. They're gone. They're fuel. They're better than fatliner if you're starting a fire. Oh, I'm sorry. Some of y'all ain't country enough. Fatliner is a type of wood that's real rich. And when it dries out, you throw it in the fire, it'll light when nothing else will. And we used to get that stuff, use it for kindling to help start a fire. That's why it was called fat lighter. Glory. See me after church. If you bear fruit, he said he's going to purge you or prune you. What are you going to do? He's going to cut off the outside edges. So next year, did you know that sometime long about this time every year, they go through them peach groves down there and they cut limbs off of them trees and they cut them back and they keep them just so they're just so high because they get too big. They get overweighted with peaches. And next thing you know, they got limbs breaking and their crops ruined, but they keep them purged and trim them down just so they cut down good food every year. You say, okay, but now, I notice this. There's one other thing I want you to notice. He said, and in him that beareth not fruit, the word is called taken away. But that word taken away from the original Greek text doesn't just mean they take it off. It means they lift it up. Hello? I used to get so tickled. We'd be raising crops, and there'd be stuff that would lean over and get on the ground, and Dad'd say, oh, we got to take that away. And I'd go out there, man, first time he said that, I whooped some of it. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to take it away. He said, no, dummy, pick it up, tie it up, because if it gets off the ground where it can get the nourishment it needs, it will still produce fruit. What's it saying? It said, if I'm in the vine and I'm not producing fruit, if I let God, he'll lift me up. He'll begin to put things into my life to give me the ability to eventually produce fruit. Could you say amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm a fruitless person. Then you're not trying. Because if you try, there's going to be some fruit somehow in your life that shows that God is working in you. Could you say amen? Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. But notice what it says. If we're not bearing fruit, he doesn't tear it down. He lifts it up. Glory. Someone said, preacher, what are you talking about? Every once in a while, we need to be lifted up. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he called me after church. He said, I tell you, I bombed this morning. I said, really? How many did you blow up? I figure if you're bombing, you got to hit a few. Glory. He said, the worst sermon I ever preached. I said, you know, every time I've ever thought that, I ended up finding somebody that thought was the greatest thing they ever heard. Glory. Come on, church. Now, I admit I've had some of them that I didn't think was very good, and everybody else did too. But there's been times. Y'all missed that. Y'all had an opportunity there. Glory. Listen, if you're looking at your watch, we're all right. If I start tapping mine, we're all in trouble. Glory. Hello? I've had some. I've loaded up. Boy, I thought that shotgun was ready, and I got down there and found out the powder was wet. It didn't work like I thought it would. And I remember one night in particular, I thought I'd wasted my time, and a dude come in out of the car sitting in the parking lot and got saved. To this day, he will tell you I'm the greatest preacher ever heard from a parking lot. Glory. Amen. But we've got to be an encourager. When we think we've done bad, sometimes God is just working to lift us up so that we can be more fruitful. Hello? The Bible tells me this. Sometimes when you're down, sometimes you can't depend on others. Notice what the Bible tells me about David. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, his wives have been taken captive. They've come in. The enemy's taken a bunch of people captive. He's got three wives in the bunch that have been taken captive. And man, his whole life's turned upside down. And now the people are talking about stoning him because he let it happen on his watch. And notice what he said. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man of his own son and for his daughter. In other words, everybody's so upset, ain't nobody encouraging David at all. He's right by himself. Well, preacher, what do you do in that case? Then, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. David got to thinking about it. He said, hey, wait a minute. Hey, man, you said, what are you talking about? I think every time David got down, I believe in his mind, he started writing down everything God had ever done for him. Hey, man, you say, you can't prove that. Well, in one of the Psalms, he said, I remembered the days of old. So when things would get bad, David would start remembering all the times God blessed him. And in that, he'd find a way to find a little light in the midst of his darkness. And the Bible said David encouraged himself. Wasn't nobody to do it. So David just started thinking about what God had already done. Let me tell you something, honey. It doesn't matter how bad down you get. There's a God in heaven can pick you up if you'll let him. He's always ready to grab you and lift you up. And all you got to do is make up your mind, I'm not staying here anymore. I'm coming out. And if I can get a hold of God, I can find my way out the other side. Could you say? David sat there thinking, man, my wives have been taken captive. The place is falling apart. People are wanting to stone me. And about that time he said, but God, you know, when I was a kid, I used to sing to you and you'd bless me in the field. I remember the day we toted the ark into the place and the Holy Ghost hit me and I danced down the street. I remember all the times you lifted me up. I remember when I messed up, you brought me back and restored to me the joy of my salvation. Now for that reason, God, I'm encouraging myself in you because I know you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, you are the only one that can bring me out. Woo. Glory. I'm hurrying. I want to encourage y'all. I'll be through in another hour. The ministry of encouragement is a ministry that we're all called to. Isaiah 35:3. Strengthen ye the weak hand and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that there are fearful hearts. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap in the heart, like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall water break out, and there shall be streams in the desert. For the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty lid springs of water. And the habitation of the dragon, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Hello? Strengthen the weak hand. Confirm the feeble's knees. Encouragement and healing and deliverance will come through the encouragement you give others. Hello? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? When you see people down, if you can give them a little light, give them hope. Folks can't make it without hope, but if we can give them hope, there's no end to what can happen in their life. Amen. Notice this, and I'm going to hurry. Number one, you have to have been lifted up or exalted before you can ever lift anybody else up. Paul in 2 Corinthians said, but I'm determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them to whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you, with many tears, not that you may should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I more abundantly have unto you. Paul said, I'm not going to come to you with a heavy heart anymore. From now on, we're going to have fun when I show up. Glory. If you're going to lift somebody up, you've got to have been lifted up sometime in your life. Come on, church. If every time somebody asks you how you doing, it's bad, then you need to do something about it. I'll be honest with you. I go to count mean. I never pass the preacher and say, how's it going? Because they'll tell you. It's discouraging. You'll pass a guy, oh, this church is going down slower than any of them I've had. And it never fails. Boy, my backs are killing me. I tell you, I'm going downhill. I could do that, church. I got people all the time, preacher, why are you limping? Just depends on which leg. I mean, if we want to have a pity party, I can hang with most of you. I mean, pastoring this church almost killed me. Thank God, I've had a heart attack, I've had cancer, found out I was a diabetic, I blew a knee out, popped my other knee. And that's the good stuff. I mean, I could really get down to business with some of y'all, and y'all be going, oh, man, don't ask that preacher nothing. Glory. But you choose how you're going to react. And I made up my mind. I'm not going to let it get me down. I might die tomorrow, but on my deathbed, I'm still going to be shouting and rejoicing in God because I know that my God is still the only way, the only truth, the only life. And I know my God is still the only one that can take my feet out of the valley and put me back on the mountaintop and restore to me the joy of my salvation. I've read Habakkuk, and I understand my only hope is that I hang on to God. I don't care what goes on in this life. I know that I know that I know that God has picked me up and set my feet on the narrow way. And as long as I'm hanging on to him, tomorrow may go all downhill, but there's another day coming after that. One way or the other, joy will be mine again. Woo! I remember Frieda trying to be the ministry of encouragement. First time I blew my left knee out, I was an evangelist. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but when you ain't preaching, you don't make money. I didn't have any churches volunteering to send me a salary while I was off. And I don't know why, but they didn't do things the way they do now. 6 months, I couldn't put any weight on this foot. Same thing I done to the other one that in a month and a half, I was walking. Septic tank went out. And y'all country folks, you know, the sewer, you just call, you know, Roto-Rooter or somebody to clean the line out and you back in business. If a septic tank goes out, you either fix it or move. And it was already to the point of moving because it was up in the bathtub. And we closed the door, raised the window, but it didn't help. I mean, I've been since February, and this was like May, without any income. The reserves were gone. I called and got bids. Dude told me to do it for $685. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but I didn't have $6.85, much less $685. He might well said $6 million. Then he made me an offer. He said, I tell you what, Dad always liked you. Now, if a crook says, Dad always liked you, you've been to get took. And I can tell you, this guy's a crook. He's kin to me. I know him. He said, I'm doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix that thing, and we're going to let you take to December to get the money. How about that, preacher? Just write the check. Don't put a date on it. And I'm thinking, how much interest am I going to have to pay? Because this dude, he charges on mama interest. But I went ahead because I needed it fixed. And I'm sitting on the porch that morning. I got my leg cocked up in the chair, and I'm watching him out there digging around the yard. And Frida comes by. She's heading up to her mama. She said, God owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. I said, you better sell something. We need some money.
That afternoon, my mom brought the mail home. She handed it to me. I'm shuffling through it. I found three letters. They were all mailed on the same day. Got to my house the same day. One was from South Georgia, from a guy named Hooch Smith. I don't even know Hooch's real name. That's just, he made moonshine all his life, and that was his nickname, and I couldn't tell you his name for nothing because all I ever knew was Hooch. His wife wrote the letter. She said, Hooch woke me up in the middle of the night and said, write you a check, and if he's giving away money, it's got to be God. Hooch got saved at Emory University while his wife was laying in the hospital getting ready to have an open heart surgery. They did an arteriogram to see how many bypass they had to do. And before we got to the place they did that, Hooch come in and said, honey, God said if I'd get saved, he'd heal you. And I love my shine, but I can quit it for you. He got outside the bed, got saved, and the next day they come in there. And Emory University studied that lady for 6 months because she grew three bypasses. Needless to say, the next night she was at church and her and Hooch was down the altar and everybody in the church was hanging off the wall. Glory. I found out later he blew up two steels down in the swamp because he gave his heart to God. Now he's mailed me money. Guy in Louisiana, place called Alexandria. I was in revival there when I found out my wife was pregnant, our first child, and it's no wonder what his name is. This guy's daughter-in-law got saved. She was Buddhist, couldn't speak a lick of English. Took me 3 hours, but we prayed her through. The next night, I had four more Buddhists, but she could speak to them, and she was going through an interpreter and telling them about Jesus, and they ended up getting saved. But I'll never forget, this guy wrote in the letter. He said, I've been praying, preacher, about what I could do for you. And God said you needed this. And he wrote a check and put it in the letter. The third letter is from a guy in Long Island, New York, that had gotten saved in one of my revivals filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, God woke me up in the middle of the night, said, I wrote this letter. And I put the check in it for you, preacher. I hope it'll bless you. Do you know those three checks total $685? I never forget, I got on the phone, I called Frida because they were loading the equipment up and I got the money to pay the dude. I called Frida when she answered the phone to her mom and I said, they had a cattle sale. She said, what? I said, they sold some cows, Frida. I got the money to pay the guy the bill. So what are you talking about? It's that kind of lifting up you got to have. But once you've had it, you realize, hey, it doesn't matter how low you get. I got a God who can move on people, that can bring you down, can give you power to be an overcomer. See, you got to have something give to you for you can never give away. Galatians said this, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, that you would fulfill the law of Christ. Y'all have heard me talk about my friend and Miss in Mobile. Ed and I are about as close as you get. I'm probably close to him as any brother I got. We've been through a lot together. We've hung with one another. We talk at least once or twice a week, and I try to go see him as much as I can because he can't travel anymore. He pastors a church this size with 25% heart function. He was telling me the other day, he said, I can't wait 4 more years. I'm going to retire and become a teaching pastor somewhere. Hello? He's not thinking about quitting. With 25% heart function, he's still planning for the future. Glory. They asked me to come do his pastor appreciation a couple years ago. Y'all remember I was gone on a Sunday, went to do it. They slipped me in. He didn't even know I was there. Do you know why how they told him it was me? They got his cell phone. And they got a record that they got from my ringtone. So when I call him, he knows it's me. And they put it on the speaker system. It's a song from back in the 70s or 60s. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. They turned it on, and he was sitting there, and he said, I know who that is. His wife looked up, and she said, if he calls me mom, I'm going to shoot him. You got to understand, when we first met, I was with him in a hospital, and this lady looked up and said, is that your son? So Father's Day, I always call him and say, Happy Father's Day. His wife gets mad because we're almost the same age, but she gets mad because I call her mom every once in a while, and she says, you better shut up. She really encourages me about how quick I'm going to get to heaven if I keep it up. Glory. He said, Richard, what are you getting at? We've got to get to that place where we understand if somebody's got a burden, if to bear it, it's not that much. Come on, church. If you try to tote it by yourself, you'll never make it. But if somebody can get under the load, makes it a whole lot easier. Come on, church. Amen. I'm fixing to close. Proverbs 11 and 11. I'm skipping through this, so I'm probably going to lose the guy in the back. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But by the overthrowing, but by the mouth is the wicked, is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Hebrews 10:11, for the mouth of the righteous man is well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Isaiah 50:4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak the word in season to him that is weary, who waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear and to learn. And even lamentations of a crying prophet. He said, it is the Lord's mercies that are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Amen. Jesus said, I pray the Father that he'll send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world knoweth not, neither can it receive. But he shall be with you, and he shall be in you. That word comforter comes from the Greek word parakletai, one called alongside to comfort. Glory. Church, we don't have to be discouraged. We are encouraged because God has not left us without an encourager. But we ourselves need the ministry of encouragement to let a world know God can pick you up when it seems like nobody else cares. Stand with me all over the house. 2005 is a year I'd just as soon take off the map. In spring of 2005, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. She had to have both breasts removed, reconstructive surgery. Between April 2005, April 2006, that's 12 months I could just lose and never have a problem with it. It was in March of 2006, my wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and had to have a complete hysterectomy. In the middle of all that, my mom died, who was a part of my household. She'd lived with us for 30-something years. Right in the middle of all of that, I'm in Romania, and a little lady walks up, and she starts shaking her finger on her face and speaking in Romanian, and I finally got her attention and said, ma'am, I don't understand the thing you're saying. She goes and grabs the interpreter, the only other person in that building of over 2,800 folks that could speak English, and she drags him back over there by his ear. She spins him around, starts shaking her finger. He looked at me and said, she's got a word for you. I said, I figured that out. What she said to me, halfway around the world from here, this little lady who knows nothing about me and never met me before that day looked at me and said, the one beside you will be okay. There'll be tragedy in your life this year, but the one beside you will be okay. My wife was declared cancer-free after both surgeries. My mom died in the middle. That was the tragedy of our family, but you know what? God prepared me through a little old lady halfway around the world to know my God had not forgotten me. My God had not forsaken me. But the same God that picked me up as a drug addict, alcoholic, turned my life around and gave me a life I could enjoy. That same God that brought me where I am right now is the God that's going to carry me the rest of the way. And it's not why am I where I'm at, but how am I going to deal with it? If I'm going to deal with it in Him, I'm encouraged by the fact that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And my God is able to do everything I need done in my life. I believe with all my heart we're living in a world of people that are discouraged. Church folks that are ready to give up. But I'm here to tell you there is light at the end of the tunnel. And there is a day on the other side for some of you that you need to wake up and realize God is in control. And whatever happens, God's going to provide and take care of me. And once you've been encouraged and you've been picked up, then you can become an encourager to those that are around you through the power of His divine love. Father in heaven, I thank You now for Your grace, for Your love, for Your mercy. Touch us with Your glory. Father, it is in Jesus' name I pray. Lord, have Your way. In Jesus' name.